I was a mom once, in another life. I had a big heart, but tiny little arms, too little to hold on my tadpoles. I was also a frog. The story must be told.
The story must be told.
Yeah, they let me up here again. A lot of you wrote letters last time. Most of them were pretty mean, but some were nice. Well, not nice, but not explicitly threatening. So thank you.
I love you, Devin!
I don't know how to respond to that. It's not something I've heard in the last few years. I love you too?
That's too fast, buddy.
Yeah, my bad, sorry. Too much too soon, I get it. I'm just kinda emotionally tender right now. I'm just thinking back how I was a mom, and how it hurts. You spend all your day thinking about someone else, and in the end, you can never look inside their head. You can never know if they understand everything you do for them. And just when you think you're done, yep, here come more eggs. Brother Reed, the petitions.
The response is, "Oh, Mama, just a spoonful of story, please." For Congregant Bradley W. Together, you and me, Brad, we go to the Jersey Shore. We buy taffy on the boardwalk, and a man draws a picture of us playing couples tennis. Later, by the Ferris wheel, you choke on a piece of funnel cake, and a burly man in a Bengals jersey breaks your ribs, giving you the Heimlich. It was the best summer of your life.
Oh, no.
For Congregant Alexander D., it's a full moon and a change has come over you. Hair grows all down your back and forearms. Your nose gets chunky and your hands thicken. Because every full moon, you become Robin Williams.
Somebody stop me!
Do not go in there.
Oh, no, please.
For Congregant Kate W., a big kid dared you to smoke a whole poinsettia. All of Mrs. Dripstrap's fourth grade class is watching. You lift the plant out of the red aluminum decorative foil, and the big kid says,
"The aluminum too."
And you say, "That wasn't part of the deal, tot." But with so many 10-year-olds in attendance, you can't back down. You spark up the Christmas plant and suck.
Oh, no, please.
For Congregant Aaron H., lean in. Just you, not anyone else. If anyone else listens to the next sentence, the story will get you worse than before, okay? Here you go, Aaron. Come here. Instead of bless you, just say greases when you sneeze. It's so much easier. Achoo! Greases. Oh, thank you. No, thank you. Sneeze one in my mouth. And finally, for Congregant Alex H., I have made a painting of how you die. I used a lot of red, Alex. Here, help me hang it in the foyer, Alex. Yes. Use your strong arms and lift it, but no, don't look. No, you don't want to look at this painting. Just lift it with your strong arms.
You looked! Like I told you not to, Alex!
And you saw a painting of you hanging a painting. Uh-oh!
I'm right behind you.
Oh, no.
Thanks, Big R. So, anyway, being a parent's hard, but as this story makes it clear, it can also be a lot of fun. Pastor Andrew?
This story is titled Hard to Be a Mother by Munster.com. Mary Lynn twisted the cap off a bottle of Coors Light with the web between her thumb and forefinger and let the bottle cap fall into the garbage below. It bounced off spent beer bottles and clinked its way to the bottom of the trash. She picked up a plastic, economy-sized Evan Williams whiskey bottle from the bottom rail. Travis Bertram sat at the bar behind her, clasping his hands around a beer like a man in prayer before some absent god. His wiry eyebrows fanned in all directions, and his eyes were set on either side by tan, yellowish crow's feet. Mary Lynn turned around and set the bottle on the bar, grabbed a napkin, placed the napkin in front of Travis, and put the Coors on top of it. She reached under the bar and took out two shot glasses and set them on the bar. She poured two shots, pushed one in front of Travis with the back of her hand, and picked one up for herself.
What's the occasion?
The weekend, after 3 days of working doubles.
Travis picked up his shot glass and nodded at Mary Lynn. They clinked glasses, then shot them down. The whiskey was too syrupy to sting and compounded the heavy hydrocodone buzz sludging through her system.
Thanks, ML.
Hey, now, it's not my place to ask, but do you think you might want to take it easy for a bit? You hardly took any time off, and it's only been a few weeks since... Well, since Christopher and...
You're right. It isn't your place to ask.
Mary Lynn took the shot glasses and dropped them in the three-tub sink behind her. They floated in the oily, gray, soapy water, then sank to the bottom with a muffled clunk. Mary Lynn's attention was pulled to a commercial playing on the TV over her shoulder. A baby was crawling across a white shag carpet.
Huggies disposable diapers. Huggies have soft, gentle elastic.
Hot pinpricks ran up the back of Mary Lynn's neck and her face flushed. The room swayed and she steadied herself, crouching over and resting her hands on the bar.
With thick, fluffy padding to help keep babies drier.
Mary Lynn gasped, taking short breaths and seeing spots.
New, more absorbent Huggies diapers.
Available now.
The narrator's voice slowed to halftime. Mary Lynn squeezed her eyes shut and saw Christopher on his back in his crib, his arms locked in the air at an angle with his palms out, his skin blue and gray.
Mary Lynn, okay?
She was sitting on the hard hospital bed with a police officer guarding the door, waiting for her blood work to come back negative for drugs or alcohol. This was 3 weeks and 4 days ago, back when her blood would come back negative for drugs or alcohol.
Sids, I'm so sorry.
Please, let me see my Christopher.
A calloused hand grabbed her wrist. Mary Lynn snapped back to reality like a lifeless body revived by CPR. Travis leaned forward and put his other hand on top of hers.
You all right?
Mary Lynn caught her breath. Travis's gaze settled on her chest, and he quickly looked away. She looked down. Breast milk seeped through her purple polo. She rushed to the women's bathroom and vomited. Mary Lynn leaned against the cold steel of the bathroom stall and waited for her shirt to dry. She counted her breaths until the image of Christopher dissolved in the back of her head, waiting to return in her dreams that night. Mary Lynn reached into her pocket and pulled out a small baggie with three hydrocodone pills. She took two, washed her hands, and went back out into the bar. The patrons had left. Well cocktails sweated on the bar and half-full bottles of beer rested on tables. A commotion trickled in from outside. She could hear shouting. Mary Lynn left out the front door and into the parking lot. A group of men had formed a circle around a truck. Most of them were in dirty coveralls, their faces still covered in coal dust. They'd come straight from their shift without showering. Others were spectators in jeans and heavy brown and camouflage jackets. Cars pulled into the parking lot and drivers got out, leaving their cars and trucks idling. Some of the men clapped and hooted wildly. Others held their hands over their mouths in disbelief. She shoved her way between the men and beheld the terrible scene. A naked man, who looked more ape than man, crawled in circles in the gravel parking lot, intermittently jumping in the air, flailing his arms, howling insanely. The ape man had broad shoulders and his arms were weirdly long. He was wide and muscular, but only around 2 or 3 feet tall. He had a leather dog collar around his neck, attached to a heavy chain that was locked to the hitch of a tricked-out Chevy Suburban belonging to Roger Pinero, president and CEO of the Tiger River Mine. Roger stood by his truck with his arms folded across a branded, pristine, white dry-fit polo. He smirked as he watched the scene, nodding in encouragement for his workers to terrorize the ape. Some men threw stones at the ape man. He clumsily dodged them. Others taunted him by running at him with their hands in the air, instigating the ape man to sprint at them, only for him to be caught by his leash and pulled to the ground. A few men held the others back, desperately trying to calm the disorder. Michael Truman, a short, heavy man with a scrunched, sooty face, stared at the madness in awe.
Michael, what the fuck is going on?
Michael shook his head and spoke quietly.
We found him in the mine. Some caveman or something. Took 10 men to pin him down. They punched him out and I was like, my God, Jesus Christ, this shit's making me sick.
Michael put his hard hat on and went to his truck and slowly drove out of the parking lot. Marilyn pushed to the inside of the circle. A rock hit the caveman square in his large forehead and blood trickled into his thick unibrow. He staggered and fell back. The crowd went wild. She ran to the ape man.
Stop! Stop! This isn't right. Leave him alone. You're supposed to be Christians.
Marilyn went to the creature and dropped to her knees. She took him in her arms without hesitating. The caveman struggled and bit at her, but she cradled his head against her chest and caressed his cheek with the back of her hand. He calmed. The crowd calmed. She scowled at the crazed men. Tears welled in the bottom of her eyes. The men dropped their heads and kicked at the gravel. The caveman quietly whined in her arms like a dog. He curled into a ball and she held him tighter. The men slowly dispersed from the parking lot, muttering to each other. Marilyn rubbed the caveman's broad forehead. Roger walked over to Marilyn, sucking on his upper lip, feigning shame. His sandy blonde hair was cemented by hairspray in a severe part. He stopped short of the ape's reach.
Just letting the boys blow off a little steam, that's all.
He smiled and put his arms on his hips akimbo.
Your boys are a bunch of animals.
Roger's face quickly dropped into a scowl.
You don't talk about them like that. Not everybody can get a paycheck for drinking all day.
I earn my money.
Roger smirked.
Sure you do. Those scripts don't pay for themselves, now do they?
Marilyn swallowed.
I'll give you to the count of three to get off this property.
Roger put his hands in the air and turned to his Suburban.
All right, St. Francis. This thing's all yours.
He unhooked the ape man, got in his car, turned it on, and drove up to Marilyn. He rolled down the window.
Might want to have a cup of coffee before you drive home, Marilyn. Your eyes are all glassy, sweetheart.
Say hi to your boy for me. Roger winked and pulled out of the parking lot. Marilyn fought back tears until his truck was out of sight. Then she let herself go. She hugged the ape man. The ape man hugged her back. Marilyn opened her front door and the caveman barreled inside on all fours. He ran headlong into the couch, flipping it over and crashed into the kitchen. Plates flew off the dish rack and shattered on the floor. He screamed at the noise and jumped on the counter, pointing at the broken dishes and screeching. Marilyn smiled and shut the door behind her. The ape man jumped up and down on the kitchen counter, pounding his fists against the cupboards. He kicked at the kitchen faucet and broke the nozzle. Water poured into the sink without stopping. The motion of the water transfixed him. He calmed down and brought his face towards it. It ran over his lips and he shot into the air, screaming, but he settled himself once again and drank from the stream. Mary Lynn walked to her recliner and took a seat. She pulled the handle and put her feet up, resting her hands over her stomach. The caveman jumped from the counter and inspected the rooms of the house one by one, like a dog settling itself with new surroundings. Every few minutes, she'd hear a lamp crash to the ground or a shelf knocked over, but she stayed put. She leaned back in her recliner and stared at the ceiling. A pleasant, warm sensation flowed from her chest to her fingertips. The caveman walked in from the hall, upright, stopping before entering the living room. Mary Lynn patted her lap, but the caveman kept his back to the wall as he came to a stop in the corner of the room. Mary Lynn pretended to ignore him and looked out the window. It was steel gray outside. A stinging scent brought her attention back to the caveman. He was leaning forward and urinating on the carpet. Mary Lynn waited for him to finish. He looked at her and she patted her lap again. He walked towards her slowly, crouched over, stopping every few paces, before crawling up on her lap. His weight was strangely distributed throughout his body.
Shh. Mama's got you.
Mary Lynn put her arms around the caveman, and he pushed himself off, hitting her hard on the eye. She saw stars. Her nose ran and her ears rang, but she kept her composure. After counting a few breaths, she reopened her eyes. The caveman was back in the corner, glaring at her. She patted her thighs again and sat back. Again, the caveman approached her and crawled into her lap. Mary Lynn gently rocked back and forth, and his breathing steadied. She quietly pulled at her shirt and exposed her breast. The caveman took to it, biting at first.
No,
she said, putting her breast away.
Gentle.
She pulled it back out, and he took to it without his teeth. Mary Lynn rubbed the back of his head.
My name is Mama.
She ran her fingers through the hair on his back.
Your name is Christopher.
Mary Lynn ran her wrist under cold water in the bathroom sink. Bloody water swirled down the drain. She took gauze out of the medicine cabinet with her good hand. Her skin was purple and bruised around the bite mark. More bruises had accumulated up and down her arms, legs, and sides over the past 2 days. Christopher had bit her when she gave him some hydros to calm him down. She thought she was going to lose a finger when she held his nose and covered his mouth while he swallowed them. Now Christopher screamed in his bedroom, pounding against the door and slamming into the walls. He would be allowed back out after he calmed down. Mary Lynn ran rubbing alcohol over the wound and swore through pursed lips. She clenched her teeth as she tied gauze tightly around the wound. She put the gauze back into the medicine cabinet, took out a medicine bottle with a stranger's name on it, shook 2 hydrocodones into her palm, swallowed them, and put the medicine bottle back in the cabinet. Christopher continued to rip apart his bedroom. Mary Lynn mechanically went to the kitchen cupboard, took out a bottle of Smirnoff, poured herself a milk glass of vodka, and drank it down. 3 quick knocks came from her front door. She dropped her cup in the sink and returned the booze to the cabinet. She rinsed her mouth out with water. Black SUVs had been coming up to the house for the past 2 days, and she wasn't about to let anyone in until they could show her a warrant. It was the weekend and the courts were closed. She was biding her time. Mary Lynn walked through the trashed living room and peeked out the window. Roger Pinero stood on the front steps. He caught her looking out and knocked 3 more times, harder. She went to the door and opened it. Roger's face was set in a death stare.
Give me that goddamn thing back.
Mary Lynn leaned on the doorframe and folded her arms.
You're on private property, Mr. Pinero.
And you got my private property, so hand it over.
Mary Lynn shook her head.
I'm trying to help you, sweetheart.
Oh, yeah?
They shut down my fucking mine. Town's out of work until the EPA can do a sweep and see if there's more of those things down there.
Mary Lynn's face flushed.
They can't do that. Who told them?
Your little buddy Travis took a video on his cell phone. That Christian comment must have gotten to his God-fearing soul.
I guess it did.
Roger smirked.
Yeah. So I told him to pray to the good Lord to help him find a new line of work.
Shame flushed over Mary Lynn. Christopher's screams came through the walls. Roger gave her a furious smile.
I told the boys to let me talk to you before they came up here to pay you a visit themselves. We got lots of angry people looking to get back to work, Mary Lynn. So hand that son of a bitch over. I'll take care of him. And the town can get back to work.
You're on private property, Mr. Pinero.
Roger crossed his arms. Pardon my French, but are you fucking stupid?
You're threatening me, Mr. Pinero. And I got a right to defend my property. Let's see who's fucking stupid.
Roger shook his head and sucked on his lips. Mary Lynn gave him a pleasant, condescending smile. Roger exhaled and laughed.
Okie doke. But I can't promise my boys will be as nice as me if they come and knock some sense into your ass tomorrow.
Is that another threat, Mr. Pinero? I'm ready to settle this.
Roger put his hands in the air and walked to his truck. He got in and slowly drove down the gravel driveway. Blood pounded in Mary Lynn's ears. She calmed herself and went back into the house. Christopher was no longer screaming or slamming against the walls. Mary Lynn went to the bathroom and took two more pills before going to Christopher's room. She slowly opened the door and peered in. He was lying in a ball on the floor, panting. Mary Lynn got on all fours and crept up to him. She went around his back and spooned him. Christopher whimpered.
I'm gonna show him, baby. They'll see that you're a handsome boy. Mama's gonna go to bed. We got a big day tomorrow.
Christopher dozed.
I'm gonna take you to church.
Mary Lynn sat behind the wheel of her Ford Taurus in the back of the church parking lot. She slumped in her seat, watching the congregants file out of the front doors and make their way to the parish activity center for pancakes and coffee. Christopher snored in the passenger seat. His massive head rested against the window, covered in fog from his wide snout. She dressed him in an oversized t-shirt and her old maternity sweatpants. He breathed in a slow rhythm, and every few minutes she'd wake him up to make sure he was okay. He'd stare at her with glossy eyes before nodding back off. Mary Lynn worried she'd crushed too many pills into his food before they left, but she couldn't have him going wild in a house of God, not in front of good Christians. He had to impress them. They had to know he was a good boy. Mary Lynn finished the last of her fifth of vodka and got out of the car. It took a moment to steady herself before she went around to the passenger door and opened it. Christopher nearly rolled out, but was caught by his seatbelt. She lightly slapped him on the face a few times to wake him up. She unbuckled him, took him by his foot-shaped hand, closed the door, and kept him upright as they staggered through the parking lot. The pavement felt spongy. Mary Lynn wondered if she'd overdone it with the pills herself. She was somewhere between awake and asleep as she tripped over her feet.
Being a mother is hard. It's always hard in the beginning. Remember those nights with Christopher? No time for sleep, always working. I just need some help getting over this hump. Then I'm going straight and clean.
During the short walk to the activity center, Mary Lynn enjoyed visions of parishioners welcoming them into the flock. She saw women weeping and taking her by the hand.
You're a good mother, Mary Lynn. God has blessed you with a second chance.
The children led Christopher to the kids' table.
It's okay, honey. Go with them. They're your friends.
Reverend Moss stands up.
Rejoice. Let us remember Psalm 36. Your righteousness is like the mountains of God. Your judgments are like the great deep. Man and beast, you say, O Lord. Hear those words. Man and beast alike, brothers and sisters. Man and beast alike.
Christopher tugged at her arm and snapped her out of her daydream. He attempted to amble forward, but Mary Lynn pulled him back. She led him to the front doors of the activity center, and she took a breath.
Okay, Christopher. I need you to be brave. We'll show him you're a nice young man, honey. Shh. I need you on your best behavior. Mama's here, okay? Don't let go of my hand.
Christopher stared at her between long blinks. His pupils were dilated and rocked unsteadily back and forth.
You were a good boy with your medicine. No more medicine after this. For Mama, neither. Just gotta do this one thing, and they'll see you're a nice young man.
Mary Lynn opened the doors and stepped inside, pulling Christopher in behind her. The noisy chatter of the pancake breakfast quickly fell into silence as the parishioners turned and stared at them. Mary Lynn tried to hold her head high, slightly weaving back and forth. There was a line of people holding paper plates and plastic forks and knives, waiting their turn for breakfast. Mary Lynn squeezed Christopher's giant hand and led him to the back of the line. No one moved. Mary Lynn met their glares with a weak smile. She put her arm around Christopher's broad shoulders and pulled him close.
Mama's got you.
Finally, Reverend Moss stood and made his way through the tables to approach her. His eyebrows were furrowed, and his mouth was twisted in an enraged knot.
Good morning, Reverend Moss,
Mary Lynn slurred. Moss kept a distance between her and Christopher.
I want you and that thing out of here. Now!
Mary Lynn pulled back.
I thought this was a house of God.
This house of God has no space for an abomination against him.
The parishioners scowled at Mary Lynn. Her ears burned.
Reverend Moss, I can remind you about Psalm number...
You're not making sense.
Let me remind you, Psalm with man and beast alack.
Are you intoxicated, Mrs. Mayrick?
Reverend Moss shouted loud enough for the activity center to hear. The crowd erupted.
I'll call in for the police,
boomed a man's voice in the back. A circle formed around them.
Hand them over. We gotta get back to work.
Keep that thing away from my babies.
The commotion stirred Christopher. He broke from Mary Lynn's grasp and stumbled into the crowd. People screamed, dodging out of his way. His small legs stumbled, and his long arms swayed crazily in the air. He staggered a few paces, and then fell face first onto a folding table. It collapsed beneath his weight, sending food and coffee flying. Men rushed over to him and held him down. Christopher struggled and groaned.
Leave my Christopher alone.
Mary Lynn lunged for him, but was held back by men on either side of her. They pulled her arms behind her and pushed her down, pinning her to the ground with their knees in her back.
My baby!
Shut up, Mrs. Mayrick.
More men descended on Christopher, who was too drugged to fight back.
Christians! You're supposed to be Christians!
Mary Lynn writhed on the linoleum floor until she tired herself out.
He just needs love. I just needed love. We need love just like anyone here.
She drifted in and out of lucidity as the police arrived. A police officer cuffed her and went through her pockets. He pulled out a small sandwich bag of pills and waved it in front of her face, taunting her.
Well, what's this, ma'am?
Paramedics knelt around Christopher, who laid unconscious on the ground. They looked at one another, unsure how to proceed. The cops pulled Mary Lynn to her feet.
You're supposed to be Christians.
Mary Lynn sat in a booth on a steel chair, staring through the plexiglass in front of her. The guards told her she had a visitor without telling her who it was. She shifted her weight and folded her hands in her lap. A shadow ran over the plexiglass as someone entered the other side of the room. She leaned forward and put her face against the glass to get a look. Her rough prison jumpsuit scratched against her neck. A man in a tight white polo tucked into expensive jeans walked towards her. The tricolor chevron emblem of the Tigert River Mine was stitched into his shirt above his heart. Roger caught her gaze and smiled at her. He turned and motioned for someone to join him outside of her line of vision. Christopher appeared. He was dressed like a man, in jeans and a matching polo, with dirty work boots. Mary Lynn's mouth went dry. Tears welled in her eyes. She leapt forward and put her hands and face against the glass.
Off the glass,
called out the female guard. Mary Lynn backed up and sat down. Roger held out his hand and Christopher took it. They walked to the plexiglass and took a seat on the other side of Mary Lynn. He patted his lap, and Christopher crawled up and sat calmly. Roger took the phone off its cradle and knocked it against the glass, encouraging Mary Lynn to pick up hers. She did. His muffled, static voice came through the phone speaker.
Christopher, say hi,
he said gently. Christopher turned his head and buried it in Roger's armpit.
Ah, the little guy's being shy.
Mary Lynn swallowed a knot in her throat.
Christopher.
Roger smiled with his upper lip.
Why are you torturing me? You feel like a big man?
What? Oh, Mary Lynn, those words hurt. No, sweetheart. I wanted you to meet the employee of the month.
Christopher buried his head deeper into Roger's arm. Roger mockingly patted him on the back.
Yeah, those PETA folks hate it. But there ain't any laws against cavemen like Christopher here, or whatever he is. Nimble little guy. The guys will give him treats like a dog, and shit, he'll squeeze into places down there the other guys are too afraid to go to. His hair's falling out, though. The vet says he has anxiety, so we just keep him full of pills. Legal pills, though. We don't want him ending up in here like you. Mandatory minimums are a bitch, aren't they, Mary Lynn?
Mary Lynn rested her forehead in her hand. Her tongue swelled in the back of her throat.
Look, honey, I tried helping you. Now they got you in a cage, just like your boy here.
Mary Lynn's face dropped.
No, don't tell me you got him caged up. He needs room to play. He's a good boy.
A good boy? Yeah, I don't know about that. I had to be a little rough with him in the beginning, but now he does as he's told. Isn't that right, Christopher?
Christopher finally looked towards Mary Lynn. His eyes were glassy with tears. His face was desperate, like he was asking for help.
That's right. We're talking about you here, fella.
Roger pretended to give him a kiss. Christopher pulled away and buried his head in Roger's armpit again.
Christopher, Mama loves you.
Roger smiled.
Well, I wanted to make this quick. I'm sure you got a busy day ahead of you, but thought I'd check in and show you my boy's doing all right. If he's still around in 11 years, well, maybe we can chat with the judge and figure out a custody situation.
Roger set down the phone and laughed. He brought it back to his ear.
Roger, please, be good to him. He needs love.
Roger winked.
Nah, what this boy needs is a paycheck. We lost a lot of money the week the mine was down. This fella's gotta earn his keep. Wanna say bye-bye, Christopher?
Christopher didn't move.
Alrighty, well, happy trails, Mary Lynn. Say bye-bye to Mama, Chrissy.
Roger hung up before she could say goodbye. He rose and held out his hands to lead Christopher out of the room. Before Christopher left her line of sight, he turned. A tear rolled down his furry cheek.
That's time, Mayrick.
Mary Lynn hung up. The guard came to retrieve her. She was squat and her face was blotchy. She cuffed Mary Lynn and brought her to her feet.
You got kids?
I don't have time for this, Mayrick.
The guard led Mary Lynn into the corridor, back to her cell.
It's hard to be a mother.
Their footsteps echoed down the hallway.
You got that right, Mayrick.
Tomorrow morning at 5:30 a.m., Mary Lynn would be woken up for roll call, while Christopher descended in an industrial elevator, down into the dark earth to mine rocks stone black from billions of years of compressed death. The story must be told.
This story must be told.
Wow. I don't know about you all, but do you ever get the feeling sometimes after hearing a story that you were the chip? I get that feeling a lot, especially when bad stuff happens to the chip. Was Christopher a chip? Some of you are shaking your heads, no. Okay, yeah, I don't know. I can see how it could happen. A bunch of mean older boys trading poles for a flask, bumping around the backseat of a Ford Focus. They pull up to a zoo. Let's do it, Josh! And then they steal a chimp, put it in the trunk. Chimp can't see, can't speak English, but it knows. It knows these boys are up to no good. At the creek behind the woods, those boys unload that chimp and they shave it. A bunch of mean teens on a moonlit night shaving a chimp is like a dog with mange. Then they let it free. Go home, chimp. Go. Gone now. I don't know. That kind of image just pops in my head so clearly. It's just... Maybe I was a chimp once. A chimp freed and humiliated by a bunch of rude boys. I could be a chimp right now. It's hard to tell, really. You know why? Because when you shave a chimp, it just looks like a sad man.
You've been listening to The Story Must Be Told, and I've treated every face infection from Tampa to Toledo. And buddy, your face is the most infected face I've ever seen. Support us on Patreon, patreon.com/TSMBT. It's in your eyes, yeah, and it's in your nose, too, and all around your tongue and teeth, too, and chin and cheeks. Can't forget chin and cheeks. For only $5.22, you can get our bonus show, The 522 Club. It's an actual podcast where we either do really stupid bits to make each other laugh or talk about inspirations and go behind the scenes. And, I'm afraid there's only one treatment. A bunch of little kisses. Or, if you really want to support us, buy our newest book, Seasons of the Story. Find it at thestorymustbetold.com and get yourself 15 story-to-goodness stories, plus one exclusive to the book. There, that's the last kiss, and it looks like it's all gone. No, it's back! We'll be back in 2 weeks. Until then, since the kisses didn't work, I'm recommending a series of eye, teeth, and face injections, and a light radiation peel. What, you thought I was some kind of pervert? Just because I kissed your face to heal you? I'll have you know, mister, that the doctor's society told me, hey, just give them a kiss first. You never know, sometimes they just come in and they just need a little peck. They just need a little peck, and after they get a peck, they can go home. And they don't need medicine. Because sometimes the best medicine is just a little... And if that doesn't work, the medicine.
Three quick knocks came from her front door. Oop, there's a car horn. Someone's honking outside. It's like they're part of the story. If they are part of the story, that means there's caveman. And that means that there is many caveman, and caveman is an abomination to the Christian God. Hark, hark, God, look upon your creation. I'm the first man, and you're the last. And I'm gonna kick your fucking ass in the Dayton Mall parking lot.
This story must be told.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors, you can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.